Welcome to Threshold Church.
It was 2 weeks ago when I preached from Ephesians chapter 2, and then, where was I? First Chronicles. I was talking about building a house for God's glory. And when I read Ephesians chapter 2, it talked about how Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone, that Jesus is the cornerstone. And if in Corinthians, Paul says he is the only foundation. And I mentioned how we need a renewed emphasis on Jesus himself, that we really need to know Jesus as he is. And I just want to speak into that for a few minutes tonight here from Matthew 16, verse 13. I've shared from this passage before. I don't know when it was. It might have been a couple years. I'm not sure exactly. I know I've addressed this passage before, but I just felt drawn to it again for just this renewed emphasis on the focus on who Jesus is, because it really goes into that here. In verse 13, it says, "When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?'" In other words, he's saying, what are you hearing people say about me? What are people saying about me? Who do the people say that I am? Verse 14, it says, "So they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.' He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?'" You know, there's no more important question than that right there. There's really no more important question in the whole world than anyone. Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? Not to your family, not to your church, not to your preacher, not what do they say on the internet, not what this person says that, but what about you? Jesus turns it, he makes it personal. This is a personal question that we all have to come to grips with. And so he turns to them and says, "But what about you? Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah," that just means son of Jonah, "Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. Now I want to keep going for a little bit more, because there's something really interesting that's about to happen here. Verse 21, "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him." Imagine doing this. Man, Peter pulled him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men." There's a couple things I want to draw out of this that I think are significant for us for today and for what God's doing in our midst and for this renewed focus on the person of Jesus. Again, I want you to notice how many opinions there were about Jesus, even then. Now, here we are 2,000 years later, but this is even when he walked the earth. Do you understand how controversial Jesus was? Like, do you understand how much people wondered, who is this guy? Is he real? I mean, in John chapter 7, I think it's verse 12, it said that they were disputing about him. It said there was much disputing about him. And some said, he's good. Others said, no, on the contrary, he's deceiving the people. There was all these wrestlings and arguments about, who is this person? What is he doing? And so Jesus asked his disciples, what are people saying about me? What are you hearing? As you're out in the box, you go to the marketplace, as you go here and there, what are people saying about me? Oh, some think you're John the Baptist. Maybe because he preached a similar message, right? John preached, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. And so did Jesus. Repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. Some said he must be John the Baptist. Some said, oh no, he's Elijah. Well, maybe because he did the miracles of multiplying food and healing lepers and healing the sick and, you know, doing crazy miracles and signs and wonders like Elijah did. Oh no, he's like Jeremiah. He must be like Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. We've seen him weeping. We've seen him, you know, crying out in the temple. And right, so who knows why they come up with these ideas, but each one had a facet of who Jesus was, but not the whole picture. And if we are not careful, we can do the same exact thing. We can latch on to a facet of Jesus that we kind of gravitate towards instead of seeing him as the whole picture of who he is. Instead of seeing him, we see because Jesus's character and nature is multifaceted. It's easy to stumble over parts of Jesus. Like, just let me give you a simple example. It said when he was going to be born, it said that he would bring peace on earth, right? Yeah. Remember that? The angels, right? They said that he would come, he'd be the Prince of Peace, peace on earth, right? And then Jesus says this, do not think I came to bring peace on earth. That's a quote from Jesus in the Gospels. Do not think I came to bring peace on earth. For I came not bring a peace, but a sword. For I came to turn, right, a father against a son. Because that's when people go all in to follow Jesus, that's the byproduct that happens. It's not because he's not a peaceful, because he doesn't want peace. He brings peace to our hearts. Yes, he wants to bring peace to this world, of course. But which one is it? Is he the Prince of Peace or does he come with a sword? Yes. But if we're not careful, we stumble over these, what we could see as contradictions. And Peter falls right into it. This is what happened to Peter, right in this example. Because Peter, in verse 16, says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus acknowledges that this must have been a revelation from God the Father. Only God the Father could have shown him that. So he had a true revelation that Jesus is not just a human, not just a random person, not just a rabbi, but he is the Christ, the Messiah, the one that was prophesied about, the one they'd been waiting for generation after generation. Peter gets a revelation from the Father who Jesus is. And Jesus acknowledges it. Blessed are you, Peter. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. Because flesh and blood, this wasn't a human revelation. This is only by God could you see me this way. And I say, you are Peter. On this rock, I believe the rock is not Peter. I believe the rock is the revelation of Jesus Christ. On this rock, on this revelation of who Jesus is, I will build my church. Why? Because the Bible says that he himself is the foundation. He builds the church on the foundation of who he is. He is the foundation. There is no other. On this revelation of Jesus Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The church that is built by Jesus himself is the church that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. The church that's built on the foundation of a revelation of who Jesus is. Our greatest need is to see Jesus clearly. To actually see him for who he is. Because if there was that many opinions about Jesus 2,000 years ago, imagine how many opinions about Jesus there is right now. Imagine how many thoughts about who Jesus is. I mean, I could just run a list of all the different, quote, Jesuses that are out there today that aren't the actual historical biblical Jesus. But they're things that have been made up in the figment of the imagination or what we want him to be. God is not what we want him to be. He is who he is. He is what the Bible says he is. He is what he has been revealed to be. We don't get to choose who he is. We don't get to choose what he's like. But Peter stumbles over something because he has this incredible revelation that came directly from God, as Jesus acknowledged. But a few verses later, he is stumbling over who Jesus is. A few verses later, he is stumbling over a certain facet of Jesus' character and nature and assignment that he didn't agree with, that he didn't like, that he didn't think was true. You know what's so amazing about this? I believe it was actually the fact that he had that first revelation of Jesus as the Christ that caused him to stumble over when Jesus said he was going to go die. Because then he had a certain preconceived idea of what it meant to be the Christ. And it didn't involve what Jesus said. Jesus said, I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be killed on the third. That wasn't in Peter's theological framework. At that time, when they thought the Messiah, they thought a conquering king, not a crucified lamb. You can kind of say it this way. You know, the book of Revelation reveals Jesus as the lion and the lamb. You could say it this way. Peter had a great revelation of Jesus the lion. He did not have a revelation of Jesus the lamb. He had no understanding that this Messiah had to give his life and lay down his life and be the sacrifice for our sins. That wasn't in his theological grid. And so whenever Jesus began to explain a different facet of his nature that contradicted Peter's understanding, Peter stumbled over it to the point that he rebuked Jesus and said, no, that's not who you are. He said, no, you'll never do that. That's not who you are. That's not who I know you to be. You're the Messiah. Far be it from you. That would never happen to you. You're the Messiah. Here's the thing. If we're not careful, we can actually take a legitimate revelation of Jesus. And because of that revelation, if we don't understand that there are complementary truths, we can actually stumble over other aspects of who Jesus is. I think today we kind of have the opposite problem that Peter had. Peter saw Jesus as the lion, but he stumbled over the lamb. We know Jesus, see, because this is pre-cross. This is before the cross. They had no idea what was about to happen. But we know about the cross. We just celebrated communion. We know about Jesus the Lamb. You know, we stumble over Jesus the Lion. We have trouble embracing the fact that not only is Jesus love, but Jesus is judge. We stumble. See, you can get a legitimate revelation of one facet. You can, like, let's say, you know, it can go both ways. You could get a legitimate revelation of Jesus is judge. And you can know that, and you can feel that, you can experience that, and it could cause you to grow in the fear of the Lord and know him more that way. And then someone starts giving a revelation of the love of God, and you can stumble over that, and you can say, well, no, he's a judge. No, both are true. And you can flip it around. You can get a legitimate revelation of the love of God and his patience, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. And then somebody can be bringing a true revelation of God as the judge and how he's a consuming fire. We have to worship in reverence and holy fear. And you can say, no, God is love. God would never do that. See, we have to mature to the place where we can embrace all of who Jesus is. All of who Jesus is. I want to exhort you, encourage you, begin to just devour the Bible and ask for a fresh revelation of who Jesus is. Do not base your relationship with God or who you think Jesus is on anything else but the scriptures and what the Holy Spirit shows you in scriptures. Don't base it on a TV preacher. Don't base it on what I say. Don't base it on the internet. Don't base it on a YouTube video. Don't base it on anything except what God says in his word and what his Holy Spirit reveals through his word. Or else we all can stumble on this. He is multifaceted in nature. He is the lamb. The lamb, he's meek, He's humble, it says. He's gentle. He's lowly. He gives his life. He lays down his life. He's also fierce. He's also a consuming fire. His eyes are filled with fire, it says in the book of Revelation. He walks among the lampstands. He judges the churches according to righteousness. We can't stumble over this. We can't pick one side and not the other. I want to encourage you to begin to devour the scriptures. Read the book of Revelation. It's called the Revelation of Jesus Christ. Don't read the book of Revelation to learn about the end times. Read the book of Revelation to encounter Jesus, to get to know him more, to get to learn more about his nature. Read through the Gospels. What did he actually teach? What did he actually say? What was he actually like? What did he actually do? What did he call his disciples to? We've got to get away from soundbite Christianity and bumper sticker Christianity and just microwave Christianity. It doesn't work that way. We got to get to know him as he is. So there's different facets of who Jesus is. That was kind of my sermon there, so I'm going to stop preaching because I want to encourage us to get that fresh perspective, devour his word, get to know him as he is. Don't stumble over different aspects. Does that make sense? I want that to just get into your heart. But I felt drawn. We were in prayer. I think it was, Wednesday morning prayer. Different prayer meetings during the week. Wednesday morning prayer, in our prayer meeting, we were praying into all these different aspects of who Jesus is. We were praying about, you know, Jesus as the Savior, right? We need to know him as the Savior. Jesus as the worthy one, the King. Jesus as healer. We prayed about that. And so I really felt drawn to this aspect of Jesus as healer. So I'm going to kind of switch gears. We're going to begin to go into some prayer and some ministry here in a few minutes. But I was really drawn into this aspect of Jesus for tonight. And I just believe that he wants to bring healing to people. Why don't we stand to our feet for a minute? Why don't we just we can begin to switch gears. And we usually have a lot of intercession on these nights. We're going to do a little bit of intercession and prayer, but then we're going to do more ministry, prayer ministry. We have a prayer ministry team of people that have been trained to pray over people, lay hands and minister. And I just felt like we're supposed to really emphasize that aspect of prayer. It's a different aspect of prayer. There's various types of prayer. And that's one of the types of prayer, is praying for one another. Talks about that in the book of James, pray for each other. Talks about, gives other examples. But before we just transition to that, let's just go into a couple minutes of prayer. I want us to pray what the Apostle Paul prayed. This must be a good prayer because the Apostle Paul prayed it for the church in Ephesus. So we can know it's a good prayer. Ephesians 1:15, therefore I also, after I heard of all your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. What is Paul praying for the church? What is he praying for the church at Ephesus? This is the first thing he says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That is the first thing on the Apostle Paul's prayer list as he's interceding for the church in Ephesus. I want this church to know who Jesus is. And I pray that they would have that the Holy Spirit would come to them as the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That was the first thing on his prayer list. And so I want us to take a couple minutes right now and just begin to respond in prayer. I want you to actually you know, get with the person next to you, get in little groups, maybe 3-4 people. If there's husbands and wives, they can couple up. If there's groups around, let's just take, you know, the next 4 or 5 minutes. Let's pray into that scripture over our lives, over our church body. We're just going to intercede for a few minutes, and then we're going to begin to flow more into some ministry time. So let's just take a couple minutes together and just begin to pray. If you're new here, and this might be a little bit different for you, I mean, this is what we do. We pray. We're a house of prayer, because God says, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." So don't be shy about praying with other people. Let's pray this for ourselves. Let's pray this. Let's take the prayer of the Apostle Paul and begin to pray it over our lives and over our church today. Just take a couple minutes now and do that.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Let's just keep praying for a few more minutes. I just really sense the Holy Spirit of prayer just moving in this place. Just Lord, just release a revelation of Jesus. God, I ask as Paul prayed, God, give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Begin to pray that over Lancaster. Begin to pray that over this county, over this region, that God would give people a revelation of who Jesus is. That God would give people an encounter of who Jesus is, a revelation of Jesus. God, I ask that, Lord, would you just begin to pray? Let's begin to intercede over this region, that this region would see Jesus clearly, that this region would know who Jesus is, not by today's philosophies, but by a revelation of his word and of his spirit. Let's just take a few minutes and pray that over this region now. God, reveal Jesus in this region. Reveal Jesus, the deliverer. Reveal Jesus, the Savior, the one who saves, the one who delivers, the one who heals. Reveal Jesus, God, over Lancaster County, over Pennsylvania, God. Reveal Jesus, the King, the Lord, the one who's worthy of our lives. Reveal Jesus, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Just a few more seconds here. Thank you, Lord. You know, one of the aspects of Jesus that we want to see more and more established in this church body is Jesus the healer. Matthew 4:23, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Healing all kinds of sickness, all kinds of disease among the people. So I'm thankful that we've seen God do healings and miracles, but I know we have a a big way to go as it relates to seeing the fullness of this revelation of Jesus the healer. We've seen quite a bit of deliverance. You know, it's something we've seen a lot of is deliverance, casting out demons. But healing is just as much. Healing and deliverance go so closely together. So I want to share a testimony, and then we're going to go into ministry. You can stay standing if you want to stay standing. A couple months ago, I was in York, just right down the road in York, Pennsylvania. Dewey was with me. We were teaching at a discipleship school, and there was a healing that happened. And I just want to share that because I was teaching on deliverance. I was doing a deliverance teaching and equipping day for students. It was young people that were probably, I can't remember, like middle school through young adult age range, something like that. So it was like middle school, high school, and young adult. So it was kind of a range. And there might have been 20, 30 kids there. It was like an intensive discipleship school. And so at the end, I started flowing into my typical, you know, deliverance ministry flow. You guys have all seen me do that, just leading the congregation, leading the group in prayer, leading them in repentance, leading them in forgiveness and, you know, submitting to God and just all the things that we do, walking through those steps. And then I began to pray over them as a whole, like I normally do, just praying over the group. And so I just began to, you know, pray again, typical kind of type stuff, deliverance stuff, casting out certain spirits and heaviness, oppression and bondage and torment. And then I started going into, I felt prompted to pray over infirmity, which the Bible says that there is a spirit of infirmity. In Luke 13, it talks about a demon. So that's the actual demonic spirit called a spirit of infirmity. So that doesn't mean every sickness is caused by a demon, but it certainly means that some are. And so anyways, I just felt a prompting to begin to flow into that. And so I started calling out a spirit of infirmity. And then I just, you know, when I'm in a ministry session like that, when I'm up here, I'm just doing my best to follow the Holy Spirit. I just go like just moment by moment. There's just impressions and just kind of go. And so I just kind of flowed right from that place into prayer for healing. And so I just, you know, I was rebuking the spirit of infirmity. I was commanding it to go. And then all of a sudden, I just started praying for healing of people's bodies. And I specifically addressed digestive issues. This wasn't premeditated. It was just kind of in the flow. I just said, you know, I just speak to digestive issues and stomach issues. And I started like speaking over that. And I said something like, you know, I command any spirit of infirmity, leave digestive places. And I command, you know, just allergies to go and anything going on in the digestive system to be healed. And just started like flowing like that and just speaking like that. And then I kind of went on to the next thing and just kind of kept going and didn't think much of it, just kind of flowed in that way. So the next day, there was a young lady that shared her testimony. And they actually did a little video of this a few days later that I have the video of. But basically, she shared her testimony for, I can't remember how many years, but 6 years maybe? I can't remember. I'm looking at Dewey because he was there. Something like that. It was like 5, 6 years maybe. She had some sort of allergy. I'm not sure if it was gluten allergy. Some sort of allergic food issue where there was a bunch of different foods that she was not able to eat. And so she said, in her words, she said that as I began to minister in this area and call out infirmity and call out digestive issues, she has a vision of Jesus coming to her, kneeling down in front of her, and basically like hugging around her waist. And I'm not sure if he's, I'll have to go back and watch the video. I'm not sure if she said he put his hands on her stomach or just wrapped around her waist. But she basically, in that moment, felt that she was healed. And just knew that she was healed, that Jesus was literally healing that in her body. And so later that night, they had a little fellowship gathering. I think it was at the Pastor Brian's house. And they had pizza, which was not something she normally was able to eat. But she heard the Lord speak to her and say, go eat with your brothers and sisters. And she ate the food and was completely fine. And she was completely healed of the digestive issue that she had for 5 or 6 years, which is amazing. Okay. Now, why did that happen? Let me give you a clue. It wasn't because of me. I can't do that. I can't do that. Right? Why did that happen? Because Jesus is healer. because Jesus is healer. It's because he is healer. It's because who he is. I just believe he wants to do more of that kind of thing. I've seen more of that in this year. I was at another place and I saw someone's jaw get healed. I saw someone's leg grow out. I saw different things that were happening. I believe God wants to do more in the way of physical healing because he is the healer. And I know there's a lot of questions about healing and why this and how come this happened and this didn't. I don't have all the answers, but I know we need to press in for this. So let's pray for a minute. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and begin to heal. If you have digestive issues, put your hand on your stomach. If you've struggled with digestive issues, put your hand on your stomach. Let's believe God to do it again right now. Jesus, you are the healer. I ask you to come right now. I ask you to come right now in the name of Jesus. I take authority over the spirit of infirmity. I command it to come out. Every spirit of affliction, come out in the name of Jesus right now. Leave their bodies. I command right now every issue of the digestive system to be made whole right now. I rebuke every sickness of the digestive system. I command it to leave their bodies. I command every affliction of that system to come out and to leave them now by the authority of Jesus' name. Jesus the healer, would you move in this place? Would you walk through this place? Would you touch your people right now? Would you do it right now in the name of Jesus? We ask, Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit would move. God, I pray that they would even feel in their body that they are healed because your tangible power moves into their body right now. Digestive systems be healed. I rebuke allergies, food allergies to come out in the name of Jesus. I speak health and healing right now over bodies in the name of Jesus. All right. Hope to hear some testimonies. Hope to hear some testimonies out of that. All right, now, we're going to get our prayer. If you're on the prayer ministry team, I want you to get ready. Make sure you're ready. All right, and so we're just going to begin to pray and minister for anybody that has any need of physical healing. So if you're in this room, and if you're watching, you can pray along, and I hope you've been praying along as you're watching, but we can't lay hands on you if you're not in the building. But anyone in this room right now that says, I would like prayer for healing, I would like ministry for healing. Would you just slip a hand up? Anybody with one prayer for healing, just slip a hand up. Okay, there's hands going up all over the room. Okay, if you are on the prayer ministry team, and also the deliverance team counts as that, they're kind of combined teams. Unless you're receiving prayer, if you're receiving prayer, receive prayer. But otherwise, if you're on that team, just begin to go, make your way, find your way to somebody that has their hand up. So keep your hand up until somebody comes to you. So anyone that wants to receive prayer for healing, just lift your hand up. If you're on our ministry team, our deliverance team, or prayer ministry team, just begin to make your way over to a person that has their hand up. I want to make sure everyone that has a hand up gets prayer. If you're on our elder team, you're on our staff, you can also join. Does anyone, Justin, Laurel, you guys want to join? There's some people over here that have hands up. There's a few people over here that still have hands up. So, Joey, if you want to minister over there. If you're waiting to receive prayer, is there anybody that's still waiting? If your hand's up, okay, there's still one over here, two, a few over there. All right, Eric, Jeremy, others. Just make sure someone goes. All right, we're going to take the next like 4 or 5 minutes and just pray. So just begin to pray. If you are not receiving prayer or you are not participating in the prayer, just begin to intercede, okay? You can still pray along because we're still interceding. So we're still a house of prayer. You can begin to intercede for Jesus the healer to move through this room, for Jesus the healer to come. So let's just turn this into some prayer meetings here. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, would you move in this place, Jesus? Would you walk through this place? I command pain to come out. I command pain to leave the joints right now in Jesus' name. I command any symptoms of arthritis to come out right now of the joints in Jesus' name. I command pain to come out of the back, to leave the back. Leave the back right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. After they've prayed for a couple minutes, if there's any way that you're able to, you know, test out if you're noticing any difference, that might depend on the type of issue you're praying for. Some things you can have you can immediately know or test out. Other things it's not as apparent right away. So thank you, Father. God, I speak blessing over the immune system, God, to be strengthened and healed. Lord, I speak blessing over the every system in the body, Father. God, any heart issues, I command to be restored in Jesus' name. Any blood issues, be restored, be made whole. In the name of Jesus Christ, be made whole in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We ask you, Jesus, reveal yourself, Jesus the healer. Thank you, Father. Just another few seconds here on this. The name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. I rebuke the spirit of death. I command a spirit of death to come out. Any spirit of death afflicting people, I command to come out right now in the name of Jesus. Any spirit of death, I command leave now, go now, out in Jesus' name. I rebuke the spirit of affliction. I command it to come out now. Spirit of affliction, leave in Jesus' name. I command every spirit of torment to go out, to leave the mind. I speak wholeness over minds. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. There's one more area of healing I feel like we're supposed to pray for. going to give it a couple more seconds. People are finishing up. If you have testimonies of healing this week, just send us an email, info@threshold-church.com. We'd love to hear what the Lord did as you see over the next day or two what God did, if his differences, if his healings. So that's awesome. But there's one more type of healing I feel like we're supposed to pray for. It comes from Isaiah 61. We've been praying for healing of the body, but this is talking about the healing of the soul. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. The Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Okay, the brokenhearted. Now, the word heart, it's two Hebrew words combined. The word for heart, for brokenhearted, refers to the soul, the interior of a person. It could be their mind, it could be their emotions, but basically it means their soul. And then the word broken in Hebrew, it means essentially to be shattered, crushed, fractured. And so that's another type of healing, is actually the healing of the soul. Some people call it inner healing. I know people hear that word, and well, does that sound like a New Age thing? Well, no, it comes from the Bible. I mean, that term isn't there, but inner healing refers to the healing of the inside, healing of the soul, Isaiah 61, right? Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. The word heal means bind up or put back together. So to speak that literally, it means he came to put back together the broken pieces of your soul. So let's stand up for a minute, and I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit to do that in this room, all over the place, and over the live stream, those that are watching. There might be things that have happened in your life that cause brokenness in your soul. It might be grief. It might be trauma you've walked through. It might be abuse you've endured. It might be just situations that have happened that have begun to cause, you know, sometimes we go through those kind of situations, and it causes our soul to actually shatter. And Jesus wants to put back together those parts of our mind, those parts of our soul. I'm going to ask him to do that right now. Father, right now in the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray for Jesus the healer to walk through this room and even through the live stream. I ask you to touch people in their soul. God, I pray for that same anointing of the Holy Spirit that Isaiah 61 says. I ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the oil of the Holy Spirit, to begin to flow into the hearts of people in this room. God, where there is brokenness, where the soul has been shattered because of abuse or trauma, where the soul has been shattered because of grief, pain, I ask the Holy Spirit right now to come into those areas and begin to minister. We're just going to wait on the Lord and just let him come. I believe he can come in just in a few moments' time. He can do things. God, we ask you to touch people's minds. God, where their minds were shattered, Lord, where their souls were shattered, right now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, God, let your Holy Spirit come. God, I ask you to pour out the love of God into the hearts of your people by the Holy Spirit. I break the power of the spirit of trauma. I command it to come out in Jesus' name. Yes. Spirit of trauma, I command to leave now in Jesus' name. I command every spirit that came in through trauma or abuse to come out now, to leave their bodies, to leave their minds, leave their souls, to leave now. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke the spirit of grief. I command it to come out now. In Jesus' name, I command every spirit of grief, go now, leave now in Jesus' name. I command all confusion to lift off. I command a spirit of confusion to leave their minds right now, go from them by the authority of Jesus' name. And I speak peace. I speak shalom over the minds and hearts right now. I even pray right now healing over the brain, any parts of the brain that were damaged through abuse and trauma. I just speak to those parts of the brain. I command to be restored and made whole now by the authority of Jesus' name. I pray, God, for a renewing of the mind and even for a restoration of the brain physically, God, of parts that were damaged right now to be restored, recreated, made whole, made whole, made whole. In Jesus' name, I break the power of the spirit of shame and I command it to leave. I command any spirits that came through sexual abuse to come out, to leave now. Leave them now. Leave them now. Go now in Jesus' name. God, I ask you to stretch out your hand to heal. I ask you to walk through this room to heal, to restore, to make new, healing of the hearts, healing of their hearts right now. Thank you, Father. Yeah, Jesus, we just say we want the fullness of all of who you are. God, we don't want to skip over any parts of your nature, God. We want to know you as you truly are. And so I ask that, God, among us in this church, in our lives, in our homes, God, for that fresh revelation of who Jesus is, to know you in a full way. God, help us to behold you, and so we be transformed from glory to glory into your image. Help us to see you more clearly, God. I pray for every aspect of your nature, Jesus, to be revealed in our midst, God. I pray, Lord, for Jesus, the Savior, the healer, the deliverer, to be known among us, Jesus the King and the Lord, the Lion and the Lamb. So God, we give you thanks, we give you praise. We just commit all these things to you in Jesus' name.
For more information about Threshold Church, visit the website at threshold-church.com.